until the time that we pass from this life into eternity. And we travel roads, and the roads are often very rough. The valleys are sometimes very deep. The hills are sometimes very steep coming up out of the valleys. And sometimes, oftentimes, we reach the high places in life. We reach the hilltops or the mountaintops and when everything should be good. And when we get to those times, maybe you're in that time right now or maybe you're in a valley, but when we get to those high spots, we should rejoice. We should be thankful. We should spend our time in those most blessed times praising the Lord. Too often, here's what happens. We spend our time in the valley bemoaning the fact that we're there. And then when we come out of the valley and we finally reach a high point that should be good, we waste our time there bemoaning the valley we just came out of. Or bemoaning the fact that there's a potential valley ahead. In other words, we focus on the negative when things are good. And I think we're going to learn today how important it is that we don't allow that to happen, that we don't waste the good times dwelling on the bad times, both past or future. I have a guy that calls me from time to time. He's an old acquaintance, and you wouldn't know him. But the calls, and I don't mean to anything, but it is what it is. The calls are really just an update on his misery. I mean, honestly, and I'm not exaggerating a bit. His PTSD, his being out of work, his not being able to get his disability in benefits, his back injury, his failing eyesight, and honestly, his frequent suicide attempts. I'm not kidding you, every phone call, and luckily they're spaced out, or I would need a gun to put me out of his misery, or at least a shot of whiskey. But I'm like, we can't be that way. We have to learn to rejoice in the Lord. Don't misunderstand me. He has some legitimate complaints, I'm sure. But it can't be that bad. We're children of God. We're going to have valleys. We're going to have highs. We're going to have lows. We're going to have mountaintops. We're going to have victories. And we're going to have defeats. We're going to have to face them all. But we have to learn to rejoice, especially when things are good. Paul said in Philippians 4 and verse 12, he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed. You know what that means? If he's instructed, that means God's teaching him both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul says it doesn't matter. I can rejoice if I'm in the valley or if I'm on the mountaintop. And folks, it's not easy. I'm not saying it is. But as we travel through this life, we've got to stop and enjoy the good things in spite of the negative. We're going through a lot of negative right now. We're going through, whether it be economic or health or just the disruption of our lives, obviously the disruption of our church activities and this sort of thing. But let's don't focus on that. Let's focus on the good. Let's focus on what God is doing. And so Samson is traveling to Timnath, and suddenly he comes along, as he goes along, and a young lion roars against him. You know what that simply means? He was attacked by that lion. And the first thing we want to notice is the trials in our life often come at unexpected times. Samson did not have a clue as he went through the vineyards that he was going to be attacked by this lion. In fact, verse 5 says, behold, a young lion. That word behold, simply it implies that it was sudden. It was unexpected. It's one thing for you and I to be going along and walking through a difficult situation, and we're prepared mentally and we're prepared spiritually and we're ready for it, but it's altogether different when we're strolling through the vineyards of life and we get blindsided. And that's often the way it is. Satan is likened to, over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he is likened to a roaring lion. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Now let me tell you about lions. Lions pounce. Lions are stealthy. They crouch and they use the element of surprise to their benefit. Satan's not going to announce his schemes. He's not going to announce his presence. So that means that we have to be alert and we have to be watching, not in a negative sense, not looking for the booger man, not dreading, hey, the next bad thing that's going to come. That just leads to cynicism. We don't need to do that. We just simply need to be prepared that, hey, difficult times may come. And as that text I just read to you says, be vigilant. That means be awake. Just have our eyes wide open, because difficulties can come. Just be prepared for them. But the second thing I want you to notice is Samson had nothing in his hands. When he came under attack, verse 6 tells us, in the middle part of the verse, it says that he rent the lion in two as a kid, and he had nothing in his hand. Samson didn't have a sword. He didn't have a spear. He didn't even have a staff. He was empty-handed. I've been there before, and I know you have as well. We're faced with a situation. We're confronted with a battle, if you will. And money's not going to be enough to fix it. Our friends can't fix it. Mom and dad can't fix it. A change of jobs can't fix it. A relocation won't rectify the situation. We just have nothing in our arsenal except this, the power of the Lord. And that's enough, folks. Notice what it says, the first part of verse 6. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mighty upon him, and then he rent the lion in two. You see, God allows us to get into positions where we have to depend upon Him. Nothing else can help. He's the only answer for us. It's in those times that you and I learn to depend upon Him. It's in those times that He has erased all other sustenance, all other methods of rescue, where we just have to look to Him and count on Him, because the temporal things aren't working anymore. We try everything we can to fix the problem, and when that doesn't work, then we pray. So often we do that. That's the very pattern that God wants us to get away from. That's what he wants us to break that habit. He wants us to learn to seek Him first. He wants to be our go-to man, so to speak. I don't know why we have such a hard time learning this, because He's never let us down. Amen. He didn't let Samson down in this situation. Samson, in the power of the Spirit, not only won the battle with the lion, but he won it decisively. It says that he rent that lion in two like a kid. Now, I know several kids I'd like to rent in two once in a while, but this is talking about a different kind of kid. It's talking about a goat, a baby goat, or a baby lamb. If you've ever seen them or been around them, they're little tender little old things. They're small and weak and could easily be destroyed. And it's that what's being said here is Samson, in the power of the Lord, was able to take a huge lion and tear him apart just like a little baby lamb. God's power, friends, is unlimited. The devil's no big deal for God. His death warrant was signed a long time ago through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior set that to rest. So don't think for one moment that Satan has more hell to unleash on you or I that God can't put to rest. There's not enough hell that God can't take care of it for us. There's just simply not. Psalms 34 verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth us out of all of them. Amen. Every one of them, if we're willing. Our power lies in the Spirit of the Lord. Now let me add this one thought before we flip the coin and look at the other side. Oftentimes our battles are private. Now, there are some battles that we go through with our spouse and our friends, or maybe as a whole family, or maybe as a whole church. But then there are oftentimes, there are simply things, they're just private battles between us and something and God and His power. Samson was alone in that vineyard, humanly speaking. Okay, he'd parted ways from his mom and dad. He was alone, and he faced that lion privately. But I want you to notice at the end of verse 6, even after the battle was over, it says, but he told not his father or mother what he had done. You see, it was just there's just certain things that we just keep to ourselves. We just go through them. We have to work through them alone. It's just one of those situations that we just have to battle it ourselves with God's help. I have private battles that you don't have. You have private battles that I don't have. And it's in those kind of trials, it's in those kind of difficulties that you and I gain a deeper intimacy with God. It's just like with our spouse. Her and I, the more we work through things together and go through trials together, the closer we get. It's no different with God. The more we privately work through things between us and Him and whatever the obstacle is, the closer we get. Now I want to look at the positive side of this story. Samson got across that valley. He destroyed the lion. The battle is over. And now we see him on the other side of the valley at the high place. In verse 8, it says, after a time he returned to take her. I want to omit those three words, to take her, because it simply is just part of another story that we're not even dealing with today, okay? Verse 8, and after a time he returned, and he turned aside to see the carcass, that is the body of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees. There was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof into his hands, and he went on eating. And he came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Now, I apologize for the interruption there. But we know as Christians that we're going to go through trials. We just saw that with Samson. But here's what we also got to know. There's going to be sweets in life. There's going to be a lot of sweets in the Christian life. We're not always going to be in the struggle with the lion. We're not always going to be battling with Satan. We sometimes go along eating honey. Honey is God's natural sweetener. There's nothing like the taste of honey. It's unmatched. Man can produce a lot of things, but we just can't come up with anything that has the taste of honey. And neither can we come up with the kind of blessings that God can give you and I. They're unmatched. Notice that the very place where Samson found the honey is where he had once done battle. There are places in my young Christian life where I struggled time and time again, battled things. I had to learn to overcome certain weaknesses and certain temptations, and I had to learn to daily defeat my own tendencies and my own baggage and my own weaknesses that were brought from my lost life. And I had to learn to find victory through the Lord. Now, fast forward 30 years, I've been a Christian. So many, hopefully most of those areas, I don't find a battle at all. There's been a victory over time. I don't have a problem with that situation or that weakness. Over the years, God has given me sweet victory. Many times you and I have things from our past, especially from our childhood experiences, things that wounded us. Things that dealt us some powerful blows. things that created in you and I some insecurities, maybe put a chip on our shoulder, some things that damaged or weakened our self-esteem. But through Christ, if we haven't already, we certainly can. We can get past all of those things. There are scars, yes. And the scars will always remind us that those things happen. But they're not an open wound anymore. They certainly don't have to be. In fact, we can rejoice in the sweetness of the fact that Christ has given us victory over those things. And so if we have to revisit those things in our mind, and perhaps we encounter a person or a circumstance that reminds us of that, we can find honey and say, hey, God has redeemed me from that. God has brought me past that. God has given me victory over it. Now, not in the sense that the memories are sweet, because they're not. And we'll never be able to make those memories sweet. But the fact is, the victory is sweet. Where God has brought us to today. I want to illustrate this to you by talking about my situation. I hate to bore you with my stories, but my life is the only life God gave me to live, and so it's the only stories I have to share with you. But my growing up was bittersweet. I have a lot of great memories, but I have a lot of bad memories. No way around it. Many people do. And here's what I do know. We tend to take the traumas of our young life and magnify them. In other words, what I'm trying to say, they're usually worse in our minds than they actually were when we went through them. That's just our tendency, okay? I'm pretty aware of that in my own life, and I try to take that in account in my recollection. So that really what that means is some of my childhood situations weren't actually hell. I just thought they were, okay? With that being said, everything that was missing from my childhood, things that a kid needs, things that come through a functional family life, those things have been given to me one by one in my adult life through my own family that God has put together. You see what I'm saying? Everything that hurts, everything that was missing, everything that I feel like was absent, whether it's just perceived or in actuality, makes no difference, have been given to me. Trish and I have been able, by God's grace, to build from the ground up a functional family. You might say, if your family's functional, buddy, we're all in trouble. We put the fun in dysfunction. But anyway, we feel like a functional family, not a perfect family. Certainly not a family without setbacks or failures or heartaches, but a family that really is enjoyable and fulfilling. We'll do this this afternoon, or right after church, what we so frequently get to do. Every single one of them, our children and their spouses, which we love all three of them, and our grandchildren, and there's no cussing and fighting, there's no knockdown, drag out, nobody leaves mad. It just never happens. That's what God has given me. That was missing in my young life. So honestly, because of that, that's sweet, by the way. That's the sweetness of Christianity. Because of that, I can visit my past, whether it be in my mind or in seeing the people from my past. And I don't have bitterness. I don't have ill feelings. I don't have resentment. I don't feel sorry for myself about that. I hold nothing but love for my mom and for my dad and for my siblings. I'm very close to every one of them, and we have a very good rapport. Now, that didn't just happen. That was a gift from God. That's a sweetness that was given to me in an area that was once a struggle. You see, Samson returned to the very place where he had to battle the lion, and he found sweetness there. He gathered honey from the dried up carcass of a lion that he once had to slay. You can't make that stuff up, folks. Only God can create experiences like that. And the thing about it is, our Christian life, stay with me and I'm just almost done. Our Christian life is full of honey if we'll stop and taste it. It's full of honey. Not only did Samson stop and taste the honey, but he took part of the comb with him. I want you to notice verse 9. It says, and he took thereof in his hands, and he went on eating. And he came to his father and mother, and he gave to them, and they did eat. You see, he carried the sweet with him as he went along his way. You know what that means? It means that he had to have taken, most likely took, a part of the honeycomb with him from the hive. I don't know whether you've ever had any experience with honeycomb, and I certainly don't have a lot of experience, but a honeycomb literally drips and seeps honey for so long and so abundantly that it almost seems like it's impossible. It's really kind of a miracle. My brother-in-law, Tom, many of you remember Tom. Part of my growing up was in his house, between his house and my grandparents. And Tom brought home a big honeycomb one time. I don't know where he found it. But he brought that honeycomb home, and he put it on a big platter there in the house. And friends, it oozed honey, it seemed like forever. Just kept coming out of that cone. And we'd just go by, as redneck as we were, and take a finger of that. And that was our sweets around there. That in Copenhagen, and I tell people all the time, man, we didn't have a grocery in the house, but we had Copenhagen in the freezer, I promise you that, and the whole house, everybody dipped it, but anyway, that's another story too. how did I get off on that? Let me regroup here. It oozed the honey. And that's the only experience I've ever had, but I can remember just being so amazed. Where is the honey coming from? It just continues to come out of this cone. You know what? There's no limit to the sweetness that's to be found in our walk with God. It just keeps coming. It just keeps oozing out. God, as we walk with God and as we fellowship with Him, the sweetness never runs out. No matter what the battle, no matter what the trial, no matter what the difficulty, we just can't exhaust it. Here's what has to happen for you and I. We have to choose to taste the sweet. It's there. There's no doubt about it. Again, we know there are going to be the battles. We know Satan is going to attack us. We know he's going to pounce from time to time. But those battles can and will be won. And they will, through the Lord's strength, they will make us better. They will make us stronger. But here's what our focus has got to be on. It has to be on the sweet. I want you to look closely at something very interesting, and then we're done. Verse 6 is telling us about the battle with the lion. Okay, we're not going to go back and rehearse that. But notice the very part of the very last part of verse 6. It says, but he told not his father and mother what he had done. In other words, he didn't tell them about the battle. He kept it private. But then in verse 9, that is the story of his return to that location and finding the honey. And then notice what it says in verse 9. And he took thereof in his hands, and he went on eating, and he came to his mother and father, and he gave to them, and they did eat. You see what I'm saying? What does that tell you? Samson's focus was not on the battle he went through. He didn't even tell mom and dad about it. His focus was on the sweetness that came. And then he shared that with his parents. Folks, let's don't be the person that talks about everything, the PTSD, the whatever. And that's real, by the way. I'm not making fun of that. But I'm saying let's don't be the person that all we think about is the battles we've had to go through. Let's be the person that reaches for the sweetness and says, you know, God is so good. In spite of COVID-19, in spite of the economic difficulties in our country, in spite of the riffraff, the polarizing things that are going on in our nation, in spite of the ugliness in the approaching election, in spite of all of these things, let's be reminded of the sweetness of our church, the sweetness of our relationship with Christ Jesus, the sweetness of walking with God daily through His Holy Spirit, the sweetness of the Word of God, the sweetness of His blessings, the roof over our head, our health if we have it, the food in our cupboards, to the bed we sleep in, friends. There's sweetness all around us. I'm going to ask you to stand. If you're here this morning and maybe God's dealt with you and He's shown you something, perhaps you'd like to come to these altars. Perhaps you'd just like to deal with God right where you are. But let me encourage you. Don't focus on the negative. Focus on the good things. Maybe you're here and you need to be saved. Maybe you're here, you got something you're going through that you want to share with me. I'm right here in the front. I have a Bible. I'd love to pray with you, perhaps even show you in Scripture what God's Word says about your situation. I'm available right here. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Sundays are honey, folks. I'm so glad we were able to be together today, and I hope you guys will come back tonight. Brother David will be preaching for us, and we look forward to that. And by the way, if so, you'll know the trip to Ruidoso for the high school kids has had to be canceled because of the restrictions at New Mexico. If you go in, you got to stay 14 days, and I ain't taking a bunch of high school kids in one. It just ain't happening. 14 hours is enough. But so we've had to regroup, not sure exactly what we're going to do. We're going to do something for these kids because they've missed youth camp, and they're doing good. They're being faithful. We don't have them all, but we've got a bunch of them. And so we'll keep you informed what that's going to be. We'll have to do something more local. But anyway, God bless you. Hope you have a great Lord's Day, and rejoice in the Lord all day long, folks. Come back. Shine all week long when you go to work, wherever you may go. And right now, let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. And Randy, I'll ask you, if you will, lead us in prayer, please.